Hello there. Welcome to the Expressive Mom Show. Miriam Schlossberg here, and it's great to have you here as always. Now, today's topic is going to be viewed as, I would say, or you would say, quite grim. However, it is very important. It's a very important one to touch because it's about death, dying, and grief, and how important it is for parents to understand how to help their kids understand that death happens as well as grief. Now, some of what may be discussed could be considered slightly graphic due to the fact that my guest and I will be touching on areas that may make you uncomfortable, but it will be quite important to talk about, and you will see why during the show. My guest today, her name is Lisa Athan, and she is a grief recovery specialist. Lisa has experience working in the field of bereavement, addictions, and mental health. Lisa worked at Fair Oaks Hospital in Summit, New Jersey, in the outpatient recovery unit, working with people dealing with drug and alcohol addiction and their families. Lisa also worked at the Center for the Treatment of Eating Disorders in Livingston, New Jersey, and ran groups for people dealing with eating disorders and their families. Lisa worked at Overlook Hospital, also in Summit, New Jersey, in the inpatient psychiatric unit as a counselor and facilitated daily group therapy and met hundreds of teens and adults suffering with often acknowledged and unresolved grief, which presented itself through addictions, depression, anxiety, eating disorders, psychosis, self-injurious behavior, including suicide attempts. And Lisa is currently working on a book for teens, their parents, and teachers on grief, loss, and other tough stuff that kids and teens experience. I'd love to take this opportunity right now to welcome Lisa Athan. How are you doing, Lisa?
Hi, Miriam. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And this is a discussion, if you will, that a lot of people are going to really not want to listen to, because who wants to hear about death and dying and grieving and all that? But it is very important for parents to even understand it more themselves and to help their kids understand what happens. So first off, I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind, how did you get into this field?
Well, my mom died about 21 years ago, mm-hmm. and I was an adult, but I was very fascinated by the way people spoke to me about my mom's death, mm-hmm. and just while she was dying, the hard conversations we had got me really thinking about how normal and natural death is, and yet so often people don't talk about it. Or people come up to children and teens and adults and say their pat responses like, I know she's not with you, but she's with you in spirit, or you're only given what you can handle. And then I had four children, and at the time I had a four-year-old and mm-hmm. a baby who was 5 months old when my mom died. So it also made me very aware of how we speak to children. I wanted them to come to her memorial service. People said, oh, you can't do that. You'll traumatize them. So I became very interested in children and grief. Later went on to work in addictions and mental health. And while I was working in the inpatient psych unit, heard so many people talk about death and dying and things like that that happened to them when they were children and how they felt very lost and alone because everyone wanted to protect them. But people didn't really speak to them and answer their questions or ask them if they had questions. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I got into children bereavement and grief.
Okay. Well, that's quite interesting. And, you know, we all have a reason for going into the paths that we do, so it certainly sounds like what you went through served a huge purpose. Now, one thing that a lot of parents are afraid to do is to, like you said, talk to their children about death. Now, a lot of mistakes that parents make, I know, is if a loved one dies, and they say, well, you know, he or she went on vacation, a very long vacation. Mm-hmm. That is the wrong thing to do because the child's going to think, well, he or she just abandoned me, went away and isn't coming back. You know, so how do parents tell their children, like very young children, how do they tell them in ways that they can most understand that a grandparent or a loved one passed away?
Right, that's a great question. As a matter of fact, I speak to adults today who are still waiting for a loved one to get out of the hospital, and it's been about 50 years because they were never told the truth. And again, as parents, it's such a hard job, and we're trying to do the best we can, and we're trying to protect our kids. So I just want to start with that because I know a lot of times parents listen to these things and think, oh, I didn't do it right. It's so hard to be a parent. So go easy on yourself. You're doing it out of good, but it's important to know. The kids do need to know the truth in small doses and in ways that they can understand. So it's really important to let a child know that someone is sick. I mean, let's start with the dog. Even though the death of a dog or cat can be very, very painful for all of us. But if you have an animal that's getting sick, just like if a grandparent's in the hospital and getting sick, you can mention even to a young child, you notice that the dog's not eating that much anymore.
Yeah.
Or you notice that grandpa's starting to lose weight and he's tired a lot. Sometimes that happens when people get very old or very sick. And it's important to talk to kids, not use the term they got sick and died. We say all the time, your teacher's sick, and then they think, sick and died. And there's great books, and I'll recommend a few, like When Dinosaurs Die, which just explains to children. And I always say to children that sometimes the body's so broken, or if there's an accident, or someone gets so sick, and the doctors and nurses try everything, and sometimes the body can't work anymore. And I'll ask children, what when a body's alive, what does the body do? And they'll say they eat, they drink, they fart, they burp, and they laugh. And and when a person dies, they don't do that anymore. So their body stops working. They don't feel scared. They're not cold. Things like that.
Okay. Now, here's the other question I have: is that now children are going to understand? They'll understand that people do get old and die one day. But how do you explain to a child that a young person died, like, say, from an accident or something else, or even a disease? I mean, how do you explain to them that young people can die too and not make them scared?
Yes, that's really hard. And as you said, young people can die too. I think that's a really scary and difficult, painful area for all of us. For adults, we understand that a 90-year-old grandparent dies, and it's still sad, and we don't have them long enough if we love them and things like that. But when it's a young person, we feel often very afraid to tell children because then we think they're going to think they could die. Now, hundreds of years ago, children died frequently, as did adults and older people. But now we live at a time with all the medicine and doctors and, you know, that we don't hear about deaths of children as much, although we certainly have, my children included, have friends that have younger siblings and things like that. So I think it's important to say sometimes people, even children, get a disease or they're in a car accident and something happens, and again, they go to the doctor. The doctor tries to do everything, and they can't get their body to start working again. I think it's important to answer your child's questions. Know that it's scary. Their eyes open around 5 years old, and they pop open saying, what if you die? What if? And I've had even teachers say, you know, I want to tell them, I'm never going to die, but that's not true.
So you say,
I'm doing everything I can to stay healthy. And if you're not, make a pact with yourself to give up the smoking or whatever you're not doing, and I'm going to start exercising. But that's a really hard topic to talk about. And I think it's important to just say that sometimes that does happen. We don't know why.
Yeah, and then that's actually very important. You can't ever say to your kids, oh, don't worry, I'm never going to die, because they need to understand that one day everybody is going to die.
Absolutely.
But it is true. You say, you know, one day it will happen, but right now I'm doing everything I can to stay healthy.
Yep.
I'm, you know, going to be around for a long time, which is also semi-hard to really say, because what if the next day, God forbid, right? So
right.
I think,
and that's why if parents are sick, they need to be honest
about
that too, if they're very ill. Because I speak to too many children who say, I never got a chance to say goodbye because they didn't tell me they were really, really sick or that they were dying. And again, that's one thing I want to say, every family has to make their own decisions on this. So there's no hard and fast rules. Obviously, following a child's lead is the most important thing, though, that if they're asking, answer, and answer in small doses. You don't have to have one big tell-all.
Mm-hmm.
Just give them a little, then they'll go out and play. Even a teenager will say, okay, and go shoot some baskets. And then they might come back the next day or later and ask a little bit more. And the other thing is, the reason we want to tell them the truth is we really want them to trust us. And
yeah.
I've seen that eroded often in families when we don't tell the truth and later they hear it from someone else. And we live in a technological age where kids can Google information and find out what happened. And often kids find out before the adults find out.
Yeah.
So I go into schools often and the kids are telling the teachers about a death. So it's important to follow their lead.
It's, yeah, absolutely. So that is, it is very important. It's, and this, like I said, like you said, this is a very difficult topic for parents, but it is, this is why this is so important for them to know and to be honest. Now, my question now is, what are your views about taking younger children to funerals?
Again, I just had a call, interestingly enough, thinking about this show yesterday, a counselor from the school called and said, I'm calling for a personal issue. My husband died, and my daughter wants to bring my granddaughter, who's three, to the wake. And what do you say? And my first question is, what do you say, and what does your daughter, what are your thoughts and feelings and hesitations on that? And this woman said, I'm afraid because when I was seven, I was forced to go to my grandmother's funeral. They made me touch her, and it traumatized me and never left me. And my daughter wants to bring her daughter and said it won't be like that, and she'll talk about it first. So I said, I think if your daughter feels comfortable, then that's okay. Know that people may say you shouldn't bring your child, and so as long as she's prepared for that, and then talk to the three-year-old, ask her what, you know, she's afraid of. Tell her what a funeral is like. A bunch of people come, they talk, they cry, they're all going to be talking to her to distract themselves from their grief, and bring her crayons and paper and toys and a book and have someone there who can take her outside maybe after 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And don't have that be somebody who's very affected by the loss directly, but someone else she knows and trusts. And to basically let them know ahead of time. But that's something that I always give back to the family. Any information about telling your children, I always say, you know your child best. If they're on a spectrum, depending developmentally, you know your child, but here's some ideas for how you can generally tell them. Even older elementary school, middle school kids sometimes aren't given an opportunity to go. And I had an 8-year-old in a class one day say, I'm still mad that I didn't go to my grandma's funeral. I was five. And I didn't get to say goodbye and see all those people and hear the stories.
I can relate to that because when I was eight, I think I was eight, my one of my grandfathers passed away. And my mom said, I remember she picked me up from school that day and she said, well, he went to heaven today. So I knew what that meant. I knew that he died. But she didn't even tell me about a funeral. She didn't tell me that there was anything such.
Wow.
She didn't tell me there was such a thing as a funeral. So what she ended up doing was that she made me and my brother, he was four at the time, I was eight, she made me and my brother spend the day with these two teenage twins who babysat us while they were at the funeral. I found this out after the fact. I didn't know why I was spending the whole day with these twins. Like, I was just dropped off to their house. I didn't even know who they were. So they were watching us. I mean, we had fun together. It was a great day, but I didn't know why. But it was, you know, when I was older, that's when she told me. And I have to say, I still resent it because I think I should have been there. She should have told me what she was planning to do, and she should have asked me, are you okay with going? So,
yes.
Yeah.
And that's what research is showing now, that children who are given the information and then asked what they feel, do they want to go or not go, the ones that decide whether they decide to go or not are the ones who don't have resentment. Even if they go and they say it was a little scary, or this grandmother was afraid that the little girl is going to run up to the casket. And I said, she might. And you can let her know that, you know, your grandpa will be there and he might look like he's sleeping, but he's not sleeping. He actually died. And that may make the adults uncomfortable. But if it's up to the child and you kind of follow their lead, I was at a funeral recently and a six-year-old, his dad had died, kept going up to the casket talking to his dad. And somebody there said, oh, that's really making me uncomfortable. And the mom of the boy said, yeah, but it's good for him. He wants to do that. And it's helping him see him there. So, again, everyone's going to have some very strong reactions to that. You don't have to do it if you absolutely feel that that's not right for your child. But research is showing asking a child after giving them information and letting them decide really helps them.
Okay. Yeah, and I kind of figured that one out for myself anyway.
Yep.
I wish my mother had I wish she had even told me what a funeral is. I didn't know what a funeral was.
Right. And how strange. Your grandfather, and then all of a sudden he's not around, and what happened to him? And
I knew he died.
Their imagination goes.
Yeah, I knew he died. Okay, now my next question is going to be graphic, but this is important that I ask this because kids are very curious. They're curious beings. I'm sure there's many kids that are going to ask, what's going to happen to the body after death?
Right.
So how do you respond to that?
We can tell people that some families choose to bury the person. And again, it's very, very important to start with the fact that the body's not working. And when the body's not working, the body's not hearing, feeling, touching, tasting, thinking. That's really, really important, especially with young children, because then when they see that the person's in a casket or they're going to be cremated, it can be very frightening hearing about that. So when we bury, when somebody's in a casket and if it's an open casket, children often think that half of their body was cut off. They're very literal. They see only the top, and they wonder. Some children will say, like, what did they do with the rest of his body? It's in there. Sometimes kids will have private time before other people come, and they can show them, like, you know, his whole body's in there. But we bury the body. Many people embalm the body with fluid to keep the body for a few days so that all the relatives can come in.
Yeah.
And then we bury the body into the ground. And the ground, what happens ultimately in many, many years is the body breaks down and becomes part of the earth again.
Yeah.
And that's like the cycle of life. Cremation does to the body the same thing, but in a matter of 5 hours.
Yeah.
It's kind of... So with intense heat, we put a body in, and again, the person can't feel that. And then what's left are cremains, and then some people choose to bury those cremains. Some people sprinkle them somewhere the person's favorite place to be, or some people save them and put them at the bottom of the ocean in shells.
Right.
So,
right.
And again, you're right. 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds will say things like, Mom, are the worms eating Dad's body? And Mom will, cry, one woman said to me. But she said, he's 8. That's what 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds, they're curious. They want to know what happens.
Yes. Okay. I was unfortunate enough when I was 9 years old to see a decomposed body, and that traumatized me. I told my mom about it, and she didn't believe me. So, you know, kids are going to see things, too, that are going to... How do you handle situations like that? Because, again, I don't like the way my mother handled it. And, you know, unfortunately, like I said, kids are going to come across things. And if they're not if they're not told about death ahead of time, And you want to, of course, you're going to want to make it as tame as possible, but if kids really aren't that aware of it and they see something as scary as that, even an adult seeing something as scary as that knows everything, that's pretty traumatizing. But how do you handle a situation like that?
There's a great book for children called A Terrible Thing Happened. It's about a little raccoon who saw something terrible. And I like, because they don't tell you what it was. So it could be anything. It could be like a body that you saw. It could be devastation from a tornado. It could be a murder. It could be anything. And this little raccoon doesn't want to talk about it, so he wants to go to school and push it out of his mind, and he tries to. But then he starts fighting more with kids at school, and then he has a tummy ache a lot, which kids get a lot, especially if they're not expressing their feelings. They'll get headaches and stomach aches from keeping it in. He couldn't sleep, and he kind of goes through this and then starts to talk to the school counselor, has him draw some pictures. And he draws pictures of all sorts of things, and then one day said, I want to draw a picture of the terrible thing I saw. So I think it's really important, as you've experienced on the other side of it, parents sometimes want, what we want is not for our kids to see anything terrible, especially when they're young.
Right.
It's so hard. I remember O.J. Simpson and the Nicole Kidman, the trial was going on when my oldest was four, and a neighbor boy came over and said to my daughter, did you hear about the man who killed his wife? And I wanted to cover her ears, and I didn't want her to know that terrible things happen. And I had no control over it. So, and then she looked at me and said, how could that happen? And so I think it's really important to listen to our children's questions, even if inside we get scared and think, I don't know what to say. It's okay to say, I don't know. Let's get some information on that, and I'll get back to you. It's really important because they're looking at you to see, can I come to you with things that are scary? And I think in all the work that I do, the most important thing is to create that safe place and trust so that our kids can come to us about anything as they get older, whether it's death, grief, loss, they're worried about a friend who has depression. We want them to be able to say, I heard something, saw something, and it really scared me. And then you listen, and then you watch. And if with trauma, you know, if after weeks a child's having difficulty sleeping, eating, they're having nightmares, they're nervous all the time, they might even have some post-traumatic stress disorder or some symptoms of post-traumatic stress. And then you talk to somebody, you know, their doctor, you talk to the school counselor, and you say, this is, but I think it's really important to honor their truth.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. Okay, Lisa, are there any other pointers that you want to share? Because we're almost done here.
Yep. I think to know that children grieve in spurts. So they'll show some of their grief, and children show their grief in different ways. Infants may be very clingy, crying more, getting up more at night. You know, younger children will show their grief through their play, through their behavior. Sometimes they get bossy and angry and fight. Middle school kids might joke around a lot. Teenagers don't want pity. They want to come back to school. They don't want all the control taken away. So, again, with parents, even if a spouse died, don't go ahead and just decide, I'm going to go tell all the teachers. Talk to your child about that. When we have a loss, we feel sometimes the rug was pulled out from under us. Kids get really angry when the secondary losses crop up and they don't have any say in what's going on. So ask your child, who would you like me to tell? How can we get some support? I have kids always trace their hand when they're young, and when they're older, they don't have to trace their hand. But I say, who are five safe adults in your life besides the ones you live with that you could talk to? You know, what are five activities that you like to engage in that help you calm down?
Okay, those are very good. Now, the other thing I want to mention, too, is that I think some parents don't want to show themselves crying over someone's death.
That's a great question.
Absolutely wrong, because, you know, you're hiding that, you're hiding grief, and the kid is going to think, wow, that's a shameful thing to grieve. So that's absolutely wrong.
I think that's wrong if you're having a day that you're overwhelmed and you're sobbing and wailing and weeping, it's okay to have the kids be at a friend's house when you do that. Because sometimes, and kids on the spectrum can get very scared and overwhelmed.
Sure.
But
sure.
Absolutely, I know mothers that go and cry in the bathroom and the kids knock, are you okay? I'm fine. And now the kids are not trusting our reaction. And also I know kids who say, no one in my family even misses my dad or my mom because no one's crying.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not everyone cries a lot. Kids
grieve
in different ways, but that's really an important point. And giving them outlets, writing and role modeling. I'm really sad. I'm going to go walk the dog an extra mile today. I'm going to write a letter to the person who died tied to a helium balloon. I'm going to call a friend. So parents can role model to their children ways that they cope with sadness and anger and grief and things like that. And that the grief is going to be a lifelong process. Don't feel like it happened when they're five. You have to take care of it all now. As they get to each developmental milestone, things will come up again.
Right.
And if they've established a trusting relationship with you, they can come to you and say, wow, so hard not having a dad when I'm learning to drive.
Wow.
You can say, yeah, I miss him too. And that is hard. And what can we do? How can I help?
Okay, well, thank you so much, Lisa. Now, finally, I'd like you to share how I'd like you to share how people can get in touch with you, your website, any social media links, anything.
Okay, so my website is griefspeaks, G-R-I-E-F, speaks.com. And I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And my website, griefspeaks.com, if you scroll down the left side, you'll see information on addiction and death and suicide and when a parent has cancer and all kinds of things that some of the things we talked about today and more. And you can email me. My email's on it, but it's lisa@griefspeaks.com, and my phone number is there as well. So definitely check out on Facebook. I always put quotes and great book titles and things like that. And I welcome questions. So anyone can say I have this situation, be more than happy to answer those emails.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Lisa. It was such a pleasure, and I really do appreciate you taking the time to be on my show and to be talking about a topic that is extremely uncomfortable for people to talk about, including myself. But thank you. It has to be
thank
out there.
Thank you, Miriam.
And you have a great day. Everybody, you have a great rest of the week. Take care, and bye for now.
Bye-bye.